Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2017. It is also the 105th anniversary of the day the Grand Canyon State was admitted to the Union. We'll have more about that later on in the program. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Our live line number, 790-2040. If there is anything you would like to add to enhance our conversation over the hour, we would love to hear from you. On Twitter, we are also at Buckmaster Show, if you'd like to check in with us there as well. Let's go now on the live line, on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 to the Pima County Health Department. Dr. Francisco Garcia is the director of the Pima County Health Department. Dr. Garcia, how are you, sir?
I'm doing terrific, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. It's good to reconnect with you. I was looking at that map of the influenza outbreaks across the country, and there's some pretty severe flu outbreaks around America, but apparently, so far, we're not as bad off here in Arizona, correct?
Correct, Bill. It's actually been a remarkably mild season for us here in Pima County. Just to give you a little bit of context, last year we had 288 cases of influenza. This season so far we have 139.
Wow.
So this is pretty good, and hopefully that means people are getting vaccinated. Hopefully that means people are staying home if they have a cough or if they're feeling ill.
And we did have a tragedy. We lost a child, didn't we, last week?
Yes, unfortunately, last week we went public with the news that our first influenza-related pediatric death had occurred for the state, and it was here in Pima County. A small child, less than 2 years old, succumbed to a complication associated with that.
Why do you think this might be a little, why is it this year it seems to be a milder year, at least here in Arizona?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. I think we have been very active about trying to get out our vaccination message. As I've been telling our team and every one that I sort of come into contact, it's never too late to vaccinate. We still have about six more weeks of influenza season. So that's I think the main one. I think it also makes sense that we've gotten the point across that folks need to stay home if they're sick. They need to avoid being around sick people, and they need to wash their hands and cover their cough. And I think those things together with a decent vaccination, gives us some degree of protection. And otherwise, we're just lucky.
There had been some confusion about the vaccine over the past couple of years, maybe the combination, because it is a guessing game when they put together these vaccines 6 months in advance. This one seems perhaps to be on the money, at least here in Arizona.
Very much so. You're absolutely right. It's not quite a guessing game, but what the folks do is, what the scientists at the CDC do is they look at the flu strains that are circulating in the southern hemisphere because their flu season happens before ours, and they make an educated guess based on those. This year, there's a really, really good match between those two, so that's part of the reason why I'm also saying that the good flu match is part of why we're having a less severe season.
And it is still, there's just time to get a flu shot, I guess, right, before this season winds down?
Absolutely. We have 4 to 6 weeks left of the season. It takes about 10 days for you to become immune after you've gotten a vaccination, so it's not too late to vaccinate. Just keep doing whatever our community is doing because something's working.
How about this? Let's change topics here briefly. The confusion over the Affordable Health Care Act, also known AKA as Obamacare, is this causing some problems with people not really knowing what's going to happen to their health care, Dr. Garcia?
there's a lot of uncertainty in this space today and this month and for the next short-term foreseeable future. So the Affordable Care Act, especially as it's played out in southern Arizona and in Pima County in particular, has meant that a lot more folks have gotten onto the insurance system. The vast majority through the expansion of the Medicaid benefit to adults, but also through the marketplace. And so, yes, there is quite a bit of disarray right now, and people are feeling confused and are not sure what's going to happen, especially as the feds talk about what may or may not be covered in the future. I think this is a space to watch. Today, this very second, it's still important for you to make sure that you have whatever insurance benefit you are able to access through the state access system or through your employer or through the federal marketplace.
How many people do you estimate are uninsured in Pima County, Dr. Garcia?
That's a good question, and it kind of depends on how you count it. But we believe that we're at a historic all-time low of less than 10% of our population being uninsured. That would be a historic low. We won't have good estimates of that until about 6 months down the road. But that's where we believe we're at.
Getting back to the flu and an issue that many children, the parents of children, have to deal with, whooping cough has been a problem over the years in this community. How is it this year, Dr. Garcia?
Really have not seen a whole lot. Yeah, you're right. Typically, certainly the first year on the job, we dealt with a couple of outbreaks of pertussis in a couple of school districts. But we've been very fortunate, and this has not been an issue. There has been, some other sort of viral respiratory illnesses that children are bound to get, but certainly not anything in that is notable.
You know, we talked about uninsured people. The elderly and the Pima Association of Governments has done several surveys now indicating, Dr. Garcia, that dental care is a huge issue for the elderly in this community. Have you seen those surveys?
Yes, Pima Council on Aging does every 3 year a survey. We're actually pleased to partner with them and help them think through what those survey results mean. Dental care has been either in the top 10 since they've been doing the survey, so it's a hugely important issue. It is one of those services that is not necessarily well covered under the existing sort of Medicare coverage.
Well, there are other issues, too, that I think that survey indicates that isolation among our seniors is always a huge issue, isn't it?
Social isolation and loneliness manifests themselves in a lot of different ways among our older folks. They can manifest as depression and anxiety. They can also manifest as illness and worsening of chronic diseases. So it's really important. The Pima Council on Aging does an amazing job of connecting people across this community with really excellent resources, whether it be respite care or congregate meals or other kinds of support that help people age in a healthier sort of better way.
All right, Dr. Garcia, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. The news pretty good, I guess, when it comes to the flu, at least this year, correct?
Absolutely. we're doing something right.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. Take care, Bill.
Francisco Garcia. Dr. Garcia is the director of the Pima County Health Department. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive, a very nice part of the United States of America, especially the southwestern corner of New Mexico. And there are tremendous recreation opportunities, kind of the marquee attraction would be the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. It's a beautiful area and something that should be on everybody's local regional bucket list, if you will. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing of places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio. He's giving me a thumbs up. That means good news on the market. We'll talk with Shelley right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Wednesday at noon, a visit with Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer Jack Dikinga, plus our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mays, executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. It's on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with worldwide live streaming anytime at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the man we consult with and are honored to do so, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
Week's going great, Bill. How is your week going so far?
Happy pretty darn Valentine's well. Day. Happy Valentine's Day and Arizona Statehood Day.
There you go.
And we'll talk more about that with a very noted historian, Tom Sheridan, at about 12:30 today. But first, to the markets, things looking rather positive.
Yeah, markets are up about 75 points on the Dow so far today. The Dow right now sits at almost 20,500.
Whoa.
Which means that we're up about 4% year to date.
Yeah.
And overall, about 11% since the election. The positive anticipation that there will be less regulation, more spending on infrastructure, and some tax cuts continues to combine with relatively good profit pictures from the major corporations. And that's resulted in some, you know, very aggressive bullish activity on the equity markets.
Arizona has tried, as you know, very hard, Shelley, to beef up our relations with our neighbors to the south, specifically Sonora, more generally to the whole country of Mexico. So when we hear about what is called a BAT, border adjustment tax, freaks out a lot of people.
It does, and it should. To the extent that that tax is simply used by the Trump administration to claim that they are finding a way to have Mexico pay for the wall, that's bad for Arizona. But not as bad as what I'm hearing now is that as discussions in Congress center around tax reform in general, the use of a 20% BAT or essentially a border tax across the board would produce about $1 trillion in new tax revenues over the next decade. And that's exactly the shortfall that the tax cuts would produce in the same same period. And those are cuts both for the business taxes and for, you know, across the board taxes that they're talking about. But of course, anytime you do that, it's going to affect the higher tax brackets more than the middle income and lower tax brackets. And so what will happen is those people who spend most of their income on stuff that they have to buy for themselves and their family will pay most of their income on this 20% price hike across the board for everything that is imported. And it's a regressive tax.
Well, that could really hit a lot of people who are shopping for those bargains at some of the big discount chains.
Sure.
And other places. Suddenly, those bargains aren't going to look like bargains.
They're not going to look like bargains. And to the extent that it drives any business back or any manufacturing back to the United States, that's arguably a minimal effect. But even if it does, it just means that we're going to have people spending more money on stuff that they have not had to spend that amount of money on over the past 15 or 20 years. Now, other countries use a value-added tax.
Right, a VAT.
A VAT, but this is different. This is, again, we don't know what the Congress is going to come up with, but this is just an across-the-board 20% increase. The speculation is that it will also have an effect on the dollar, which would raise the value of the dollar against other currencies. And that, of course, would suppress our exports and cause, you know, a problem with the balance of payments to the extent that we bring manufacturing back to this country. There could be some offsets. But this is experimentation of, I think, the most dangerous kind. And I'm hoping Congress thinks better of it. But what I was reading last week is that it's being given serious consideration, and it scares the heck out of me.
It's a value-added tax and a VAT. We're going to go to Robert's call here in a minute, but first of all, is a VAT the same as a BAT?
No.
It's different.
No, a VAT is different because a VAT can be targeted more clearly and theoretically only on the piece that is value added in the country. So a VAT is something that's usually added to value adds within the country. So that if you go to Europe and you buy something, you get relief from that value-added tax if you bring the receipts. It's a big pain in the neck. Nobody does it.
Nobody
but you could
does
actually
it.
Get relief from that value-added tax the money on
back.
The way out.
Right. All right. Let's go to the live line. Robert has been waiting. Hey, Robert.
Hey, good. Well, good afternoon. I'm going to say good morning. So a couple of points, Shelley. And nice to talk with you, sir. You mentioned when you were talking about these proposed border taxes, you know, the proposed tax cuts across the board for corporate and personal taxes. And you said that it's going to create, you know, the same amount in shortfall as this other tax is supposed to make up the difference of. I think that's a big mistake that liberals make, saying that tax cuts are revenue neutral. In other words, that just the amount of the tax cut is going to make that much of a shortfall. In fact, when we have major tax cuts, it actually improves the revenue picture.
Actually, Robert, I'm going to interrupt you because I can't let you get away with that statement. All the studies have shown just the opposite. When you do tax cuts, GDP growth goes down, revenue goes down. Ask President Reagan. Ask President Reagan's budget director what happened when they cut taxes. Ask the governor of Kansas.
After John F. Kennedy's tax cuts and after Reagan's tax cuts, revenues went up, sir.
Actually, that's not true. It is true for Kennedy, but in the case of Kennedy, we had the marginal tax rates at the very top, over 90%. He brought him down to around 76. What happens, and in fact, Dr. Laffer was just interviewed last week talking about the effect of those kinds of tax cuts and how he predicted it on the Laffer curve, and he has backed off a lot of that as well. The problem is that we have no positive or negative proofs. There will almost certainly be some stimulative effect of stimulating the economy through tax cuts. The problem, of course, is where those tax cuts are focused and whether that money actually gets spent. And so what I'm going to agree with you on, Robert, is that there will be some stimulative effect, but it is not a coincidence that the $1 trillion being looked at in tax cuts is being looked at as an offset with a VAT, and that those two things, quite frankly, would be neutral if they worked out that way. They would be neutral in terms of stimulus. So we would have to find other ways to stimulate the economy. If you have a 20% increase that's causing $1 trillion in new revenues and a decrease that's causing $1 trillion in shortfall, when that all kind of, you know, wends its way through the macroeconomic, you know, mishmash, it's equal. It's offsetting. And so we have to find other ways of stimulating the economy. Now, there are other ways, and I hope they find other ways of stimulating the economy. Infrastructure spending would be one very good way.
Mm-hmm. So, how might the markets react to all of this?
Well, the markets are already reacting very positively because what we're seeing is the theory being that tax cuts will be stimulative, and we haven't gotten any definite proposals for a VAT yet. Mm-hmm. So when those two things hit the market simultaneously and we start getting open discussions among economists about the effects, then we'll see. But right now the market is taking advantage of this runaway bull. And, you know, one of the things you absolutely can't do is ignore. If you're an investment advisor, you can't ignore the fact that this market's doing that well. Your clients won't let you, and they shouldn't.
Right.
So what you have to do is you have to do the best possible analysis in terms of what's the duration of this bull market going to continue to be. And, you know, right now we think that at least for this year, it could be very positive.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much. We can find out more about what you do by going to my website, buckmastershow.com, and there's a link to Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. And Shelley, we will see you next week.
You bet.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Be right back on Arizona Statehood Day right after this.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things, your place for all things green. It has been for the Buckmaster household for many years. They are conveniently located on a beautiful parcel, about 13 acres along the Rito River. And Jan and Jack, the owners, have expanded. Originally, it was about 4 acres. Boy, they've done a nice job with the property over there at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's their fine website. They do free gardening workshops on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, that get underway at 10 o'clock. All of your gardening needs at Green Things. Today is Valentine's Day. It is also the state day for Arizona. We became the 48th state of the United States on this date in 1912. And very few people know Arizona history like my guest, Dr. Thomas Sheraton. Dr. Sheraton, University of Arizona, Distinguished Professor of Anthropology and Research Scientist at the UA-based Southwest Center. In the words of the UA Nominating Committee for his Distinguished Professorship honor, Dr. Sheraton is a University of Arizona scholar through and through. Dr. Sheraton has conducted ethnographic and ethnohistoric research in the Southwest and Northern Mexico. Since 1971, he has served as chair of the Kanoa Heritage Foundation and has been heavily involved in Pima County's Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan since 1998. He's the author of a handful of books, including Arizona, a History, published in 1995 by the University of Arizona Press. There's been a revised edition that was released right in time for statehood's 100th anniversary, the centennial in 2012. Dr. Sheraton, always good to see you. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. Great to be here.
You know, the last time you were on the program was 5 years ago as we celebrated our centennial. It's been too long. I can't believe how time flies.
Well, I can't either. As we were talking about, time accelerates as we get older.
What was Arizona like that day in 1912? One thing that might surprise people, I guess Tucson was bigger actually than the city of Phoenix.
Yeah, I think, you know, there were so many differences. One, Arizona was a fairly progressive state at that time because there was a coalition of unions in the mining towns and also progressive small businessmen who came together to fight what they thought were, too low and unfair tax policies towards big corporations like the Southern Pacific Railroad and the Phelps Dodge Mining Corporation.
It was a progressive time for Arizona, wasn't it?
It was. It was. That didn't last too long, but that progressive coalition dominated the state constitutional convention and managed to get through a whole series of very progressive proposals at the time, including the initiative and the referendum. They tried to get through the recall of judges, but that failed.
Hmm. And we could have become a state a lot sooner, I believe, 1903, if we had joined with our friends to the east, New Mexico.
Well, that reflected another disturbing current in Arizona history, and that's this persistence of anti-Mexican or anti-Hispanic sentiment. And a lot of the powers that be in Arizona did not want to enter the union with New Mexico because they thought that Hispanos, of course, who had been there for 400 years by then, dominated the state politics of New Mexico. And so they insisted on becoming a separate state.
Yeah, and this is kind of these two narratives that have developed in Arizona. You have really a rich heritage of Hispanic people in our region. And then you have a narrative that comes out of Phoenix and the legislature that doesn't honor that And it's very odd. Don't you find that?
I do find it odd because we have to remember that, you know, Arizona originally was part of the state of Sonora, both during the Spanish colonial period and then later during the Mexican Republic, really up to 1854 and the Gadsden Purchase. And so there are families in southern Arizona that have been in what's now Arizona long before Arizona ever became a part of the United States. But with the coming of the railroads, with more and more Anglo immigration, the two ethnic groups became more and more segregated and separated, and the Mexicanos became politically marginalized, even though Mexican labor has always been absolutely essential for the economy of Arizona.
Well, you know, I was reflecting before our interview on the dominant center of course, political power, Tom Sheridan, is Phoenix. And then you have Tucson, where there is a very rich, perhaps much more so than Maricopa County, in Hispanic heritage. But the people calling the shots at the state level perhaps don't understand that kind of that sensibility like we do in southern Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. And I think part of that is due to the history of the two cities, in that, you know, Tucson was founded as a Spanish presidio or military garrison. And so even after southern Arizona became a part of the United States, for the first 20 years or so, the Mexican community of Tucson absorbed Anglos rather than vice versa. But Maricopa County and Phoenix, you know, really did not exist until after Arizona became a part of the United States. And since Phoenix was in the middle of the Salt River Valley, which, you know, really is the greatest agricultural area in the West between the Mississippi Valley and the Central Valley of California, most Mexicanos who came to the Salt River Valley came there as migrant laborers. And so you had a contrast between that kind of a Mexican population in the Phoenix area and a really established Mexican middle class in Tucson, as well as lots of musicians and artists, and this really rich cultural community that could not be ignored in Tucson.
And the Hispanic population, we keep hearing, Dr. Sheridan, that this is going to be a major force at the polls. It has really not materialized like had been anticipated, even though the population trends in Arizona are as high as, I think, 35% to 40% of our population in this state is Hispanic.
Yeah, and you know, when I wrote this book, my revised history of Arizona, in 2000, the Latino population was about 25%.
Okay.
By 2010, it was over 30%, and it continues to grow. And in the book, I call it the sleeping giant, because when that giant does awake politically, given the current politics of this country, I really do believe that Arizona is going to become at least a purple state, one of those states that will perennially be in play in national elections. Some people expected that to happen, in 2016, and it really didn't. And there's lots of different ideas about why that happened. But given the current both local and national anti-Mexican policies, I think that the political consciousness of Mexicanos and Latinos is going to, you know, that sleeping giant is going to awaken.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Terry has called us on the live line, and he would like to, has a question or a comment for Dr. Thomas Sheridan. Hello, Terry. How are you?
Hi, Bill and Dr. Sheridan. I'll make this fast. Stick with the rivalry between Phoenix and Tucson. I remember reading in the journal from the Arizona Historical Society about a football game in 1937 where the Tucson contingent, they used to go by train up to Phoenix and play the game. And the Tucson won, and Phoenix people were so mad they actually started throwing rotten fruit and rocks and actually gunshots. And by the time the train got to Tucson, there wasn't a window that wasn't broken. And it was in the journal, and it made national news even as far as London. So it made me kind of think when you were talking about the rivalry of the cities, I thought that was really amazing.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about that incident, but that's great. I'll have to file that away for future reference. But yeah, there always has been a rivalry, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Let's see if we can work in another call here before we take our break. Dan has called us. Hey, Dan.
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm really confused about this percentage of population. Now, when you talk about 30 or 40% Hispanic, now are you talking about people who are all Mexican, half Mexican, 75% Mexican? For example, my grandmother was pure Spanish from out near Laredo, Texas. Now, she never considered herself Mexican because she was pure Spanish. Now, what does that make me?
I don't know. Maybe Tom can help us out here.
Well, I think that's up to you. I mean, you know, that figure relates to, you know, whether you want to call them Hispanics or Latinos, people of Latin American heritage from one place or another. But for a long, long time, the Hispanic population in Arizona in general and in Tucson in particular has been overwhelmingly Mexican, of Mexican origin. Now, more and more Latinos from other areas are now coming to Arizona. But, you know, a lot of what you consider yourself is sort of up to you.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. All right. We'll be back with Dr. Thomas Sheridan on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you would like to join us, you have a comment or a question about Arizona history, we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house, and I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. With me in studio, Dr. Thomas Sheraton, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of Anthropology and Research Scientist at the UA Bay Southwest Center. His book is in a second edition. His book is Arizona, A History, and it's published by the University of Arizona Press. The revised edition came out in 2012. You moved to Phoenix, I believe, at a very young age. So you, age three, so that almost considers, you can consider yourself a native Arizonan, I guess.
Yeah, I certainly feel like one. But no, my my dad was in the savings and loan business, and so we moved to Phoenix in 1955, and he came out to ride the boom, mm-hmm. because what savings and loans did was make loans for single-family homes.
And the boom and bust has always been a part of Arizona, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, in my lifetime, I can remember two major real estate booms and busts, the one in the 80s and then the recent one that gave us the Great Recession.
What is the big story for the 21st century for Arizona? Would you say it is, are we going to have enough water?
I think water is the key, because without water, you can't do anything else. I think assuring enough water will be one of the major challenges. And I think the second one will be, you know, will Arizona be able to diversify its economy so it's less dependent on real estate speculation and building? I think that after World War II, in a sense, Arizona was in many ways like the Silicon Valley of the 1950s, because it managed to attract corporations like Motorola and, you know, was a real leader in the aerospace and kind of defense industries. But somewhere probably around the 1980s, we lost that edge, and we've never really recovered it.
Yeah, not only Motorola, but of course Hughes Aircraft, and after World War II, relocating here in Tucson. I guess it was a relocation, in the late 40s and 50s here in Tucson. So the whole changing landscape has been a very much boom and bust, and it's been about growth, and you've been a part of that, and you've helped shepherd what many consider to be one of the most successful conservation plans in the United States. And I know it's been controversial, the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan.
Well, I'm a great supporter of it, and I think it's probably the most visionary land use plan in the country, because the county, you know, had to work with a lot of limitations, including the fact that you cannot stop people from moving in to Arizona or to Pima County.
You can't put a big roadblock, put a wall, right?
No,
within the states, not a wall on the border.
Yeah, I once wrote a little article for the you know, long-lamented City Magazine that said
Chuck
that we
Bowden's
were,
magazine.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, that we were guarding the wrong borders. But what the plan has done was come up with, you know, ways to preserve as much open space and biodiversity as possible, and also to do that through the conservation of working landscapes. It's been a very pro-ranching plan as well, and I do a lot of work with ranchers, which is one of the few industries that at least has the potential to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the Conservation Acquisition Commission of the Pima County, which gave the county advice on how to spend the open space bond money, you know, $170 million that voters voted in 2004. And once we had that money, every major ranch that came up for sale, the Pima County bought and then turned around and signed a memorandum of agreement with the former owners to keep it in cattle ranching, but also to keep it from being developed.
Hmm. Let's go to the live line again. Ray has been waiting patiently. Hey, Ray.
Yes, I've got, now that you mentioned cattle ranching, I've been told by a lot of people that cattle ranching is one of the most destructive environmental ways to use the land. And, you know, like, I want to get my question across first before I forget my question as well.
Go ahead. What's your question?
My great-grandfather was a Mexican landowner way back when. And when the Gadsden Purchase happened, he and my grandfather were basically, the way he told it, were basically cheated off their land. They said anybody that was a small landowner, and some of the big landowners were basically in the legal way, you know, like suckered out of their land.
Hmm.
And you know, they didn't have any legal recourse in the courts. They basically lost their land.
Okay.
And I always wondered about that, whether, you know, that was true, how true it was, and whether they ever had a chance afterwards to have fought either the state or the federal government and on the way they were treated.
Okay. Right. The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which ended the Mexican War, actually was supposed to protect the rights of Mexican landowners, but it didn't do a very good job of that. And most landowners, including of the land grants in both Arizona and New Mexico, lost their lands to, you know, to the newcomers who came in who weren't Mexican. So I think your grandfather and great-grandfather were probably accurate in talking about that.
And quickly about his comment about destructiveness of the cattle industry.
Well, I think that you know, originally when everything was open range, the ranges of Arizona and the entire West were stocked and overstocked. And what ranchers have been working on ever since is to figure out the right number of livestock to run so that ranching can be sustainable. And all the ranchers I know have very strict rest rotation grazing systems that allow their pastures to recover and really do a pretty good job of raising cattle sustainably. So I think there's a lot of bad press out there about ranching that oftentimes is either simplistic or wrong.
Dr. Thomas Sheraton, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Sheraton is the author of Arizona, A History, Revised Edition, University of Arizona Press. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They put together a great hour from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, another one of our local talk shows from 6 to 9. Talking Culture is from 9 to 10. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Jack Dikinga will be my guest, the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer, one of the world's great landscape photographers. You've seen his work in Arizona highways and other places. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.